On this episode of the Autumn Windbags, the rare live YouTube show turned into a podcast. Derek Carr just announced he had a new extension to his deal, $151 million for 3 years, but it is so much better for Raider Nation than that. That's why we had to do such a unique show. We hope you enjoy it, and we love when you subscribe, rate, and comment on whatever platform you're listening on. All right, here we go.
I got a dream of winning a Super Bowl. I got a dream of being in a Pro Bowl. I'm really not into dreams anymore, okay? I'm into nightmares.
There it is! Caught! Touchdown! Raiders!
You're listening to the Autumn Windbags, an audio attack from the Silver and Black. Here are your windbags, RJ Clifford and Juan Soto.
Yeah, it is another episode of the Autumn Windbags. RJ Clifford, Juan Soto, let's have some fun today. The rare, special, blockbuster live Wednesday show. Normally, Soto and I are just recording, maybe a guest, maybe an interview, just recording our podcast, setting up the big show for tomorrow. But because it was a very special Wednesday, not just any other hump day, we're going, baby. We are live and in charge, and for good reason. I thought it was just going to be a regular, standard issue Wednesday, hanging out at home, no radio show this morning, no places to go, and I see this tweet from old Rappaport. The Raiders and star quarterback Derek Carr have agreed to terms on a three-year contract extension worth $121.5 million. The agreement ties Carr to Las Vegas for the 2025 season. He is already the longest tenured quarterback in the AFC. I see this tweet, you, me, and Roy are texting, and your first text to me was, oh, shit, this isn't good.
Yeah, I didn't think it was good. I didn't know what the particulars of the contract were. I feel much better about it now. But at the time, I was like, oh, boy, if it's fully guaranteed because it's a shorter deal, maybe we don't know what the trade-offs were. Okay, we knew that he got a no-trade clause. And it's a shorter deal, so maybe all of it is guaranteed. Like, what the hell? Turned out to not be the case.
Because quarterbacks are the one contract where it's like, all right, almost all of it, there's a good chance it is guaranteed, right?
Yeah.
If it were,
especially when it's shorter.
If it were a defensive end, if it were a linebacker, if it were a wide receiver, you know, it's like, oh, $150 million, $30 million guaranteed. Like, the only real money, right? But with quarterbacks, especially with, like...
I know.
Get there with quarterbacks, with Aaron Rodgers, with, you know, Russell Wilson, Matthew Stafford, like the guarantee number has been much, much higher. Right. And so we're thinking, okay, is that the same thing with Carr? It's like, no. So the detail, so lesser shows, and I'm not knocking our fellow beloved Raiders creators, but like, as soon as the news broke, like everyone went live and they're like, oh, good for him. He's getting $150 million. He deserves it. We're all so happy. Soto and I are like, let's wait.
Yeah, let's hold off.
Let's hold. Like, the brake pedal's on the left, right? With all these contracts, because this is what happens every single time any contract happens with any player in the NFL. The news breaks from the agent. The agent's the first one to say, okay, hey guys, hey Rappaport, hey, you know, Glazer, hey, whoever my favorite media member is, here's the deal. And they obviously, because they're the agent, they want to make themselves look the best. They're going to make that deal look like the most positive light possible. Here's the maximum amount of money my client can get on this deal. And that's what makes the first headline. And that's what everyone sees for the first 6 hours, right?
Yeah.
And so this show, we're like, you know what? Wait
for it to all come out first.
Yeah, I don't want Soto to have an aneurysm because we all know how much he hates Carr and the idea of him getting $150 million guaranteed. He would literally have a heart attack on air. You guys would sue us. I mean, it would probably be great ratings, but I like you too much, Soto. So, like, all right, let's wait.
Oh, well, thank you.
Yes.
If you're gonna read out my text messages, maybe you should read the very next one that says. Let's see how the years break down. I find it hard to believe Ziegler and Champ would handcuff themselves.
And that's essentially what happened, right? So because we waited, we got to go live after, again, not all the terms are out, but it's a much clearer picture.
Yeah.
Essentially, this contract turned into a one-year guaranteed year with a bunch of kind of like, not voidable years, but
risk-free years.
Risk-free years for the Raiders. Mm. Now, with that being said, Derek Carr did two very smart things on his end. He gave himself $40 million guaranteed in case of injury. So let's say he blows out his ACL or breaks his neck or, you know, God forbid something terrible happens to him. He's got $40 million guaranteed because of injury, right? So he gave himself essentially an insurance policy, right? Mm-hmm. A life insurance policy for, hey, if I get injured, you still owe me this. Two, he gave himself a no trade clause. Normally, like if it's like Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers, guys with massive contracts, the no trade clause is basically just them letting themselves be masters of their domain. They're like, all right, mm-hmm. if you're ever going to trade me, I want to choose where I go. This no trade clause is unique. I've never seen it before because it's such a team friendly deal where Carr's basically getting like $28 million year one and he'll make like 35, 40 and 40. So he'll make decent quarterback money, non-guaranteed money moving forward. But because it's such a team friendly deal, he's saying, I don't want you to sign me to a team friendly deal and then trade me to another team. Right.
Yeah, for sure.
Cause he has the God's gift of contracts right now, as of right this second, as of April 13th, 8:36 p.m., 2022, he's got the best contract in quarterbacks. Like, it's insane how great this deal is.
For the team, yeah, for sure.
For a team-friendly deal. You 100%. Can't beat it, right?
For a starting caliber quarterback like Derek Carr, this is insane.
It's nuts. Like, we'll get to, like, I preached for 2 months how quarterbacks don't do team-friendly deals, and then Carr goes and does one, right? We're going to get to that in a second. But
roll tape.
we'll get to that. Trust me. But what he did was genius because he's like, okay, I'll give you this team. I'm not giving you Josh McDaniels. I'm not giving you David Ziegler a team-friendly deal. I'm giving the Raider Nation a team-friendly deal. I'm giving the Silver and Black. I'm giving RJ and Soto and all of Raider Nation a team-friendly deal, not the coach and the GM. So I don't want you to take this team-friendly deal and then just trade it to somebody. Because this deal on the open market, like if you put Derek Carr with this contract on the open market, it's like four first-round picks. Like it's insane. It's, and you don't want that to happen. So long story short, $27.8 million next season, only money guaranteed. He'll make decent money moving forward, but none of it's guaranteed. But he did give himself an insurance policy for injury and a no trade clause. So this is semi unprecedented, Soto. Like, I can't remember a contract like that for a quarterback in this sort of economic climate.
Yeah, in the modern free agency of in the NFL post, what was it? 84 was mm-hmm. the strike year, the replacement year. Don't quote me on that. It was early to mid 80s. This is like the most crazy deal. And now you can believe, as a Raider fan, Derek Carr does not want to play for anybody else.
He put his money where his mouth.
He put his
not money where his mouth is.
Yeah, he very well may earn every single cent of this contract. I wouldn't put it like that's not out of the realm of possibility. I think it's actually quite likely that he does play out this contract. Yeah. He would have to fall flat on his face and just have something crazy happen for him not to be the quarterback in 2023. Yeah. So I don't see that.
Or
being
2024
a big
issue. Or
yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Right. Like it's 26 mil, which is pennies for a franchise quarterback. And I believe it's 35 mil in 2024 and then about 40 and 40 after that. Right. Which again, the quarterback market by 2024,
double that.
Justin Herbert's going to get like 50, 60 mil a year.
Yeah.
Joe Burrow, 50, 60 mil a year. Like, it's going to just be going nuts. Like, this is a Raider Nation, you should be popping champagne bottles right now. Like, you should be like pants off, helicoptering your dick in the streets. Derek Carr is literally.
Don't do that.
It might be worth the arrest. Hey, officer. Hey, sir, why are you helicoptering your dick? I'm a Raider fan. Did you see that Derek Carr contract? And the cop would be like, okay, go ahead. I understand.
Fine, okay.
Go ahead and helicopter your twig and berries. This is unprecedented. Unprecedented times. Count. It requires unprecedented dingleberry swirling. But like, I just want everyone to understand what this like truly means. Like, Derek Carr is the he he could have demanded $40 million a year for the next 4 years, and he would have got it. That's just the market for quarterbacks.
If he just sat there and hardballed it, I want a no trade clause. I want I want that. He probably wouldn't have gotten the no trade clause with guaranteed money, but without the guaranteed money, fucking give it to him. Shit.
If he was like every single other quarterback in football, or any other, like what I would do, what probably you would, what anyone would do. Hey, if I have the leverage to get $40 million a year from you, I'm going to get it. No matter what the job is, right? Derek Carr literally said, I will take less money and I will risk my future to make sure that we have money for the rest of my teammates and friends. That never happens. Ultimate team player, ultimate team captain. And that is the fiber of what I think got us to the playoffs last season, right? When we were beating teams that were so much better than us, the Colts, 7 Pro Bowlers, the Chargers, more talented than us in almost every position. And we beat them both because we had a team unity and a spirit about our team. And it sounds hippie. It sounds douchey. It sounds like not real. It is real. For team sports, that is real. And Derek Carr epitomized it today by signing a contract that was a third what he could have got if he played hardball.
Yeah, it's definitely having that togetherness and that belief in one another. That's definitely a good solidifying point.
I'm sweating right now. Team. I'm so excited.
Yeah. I would consider that like icing on the cake. Like that's a good supplement to have with on top of having talent. That's how you can win consistently, is having talent, but also having a good culture, a togetherness. These guys are playing for one another. That's great. But just like, you know, if you have stale cake and great icing, you only have so much of it. It's only good for so long before you're just like, oh, I don't want this anymore. But Ziegler and Champ got us more talent. So that togetherness added with the better talent that we have on the roster now, that bodes very well for us moving forward. So we'll talk about this later. Marcus posed a question to me on Twitter later. We'll talk about it. But it's that togetherness is good, and it worked for us last year. It wasn't going to work long term. We needed more talent on the team, and we did, and we got
that. What you want is both. You want both, right?
You want great cake and great icing, yeah. But the icing without the cake, you only have so much of it. It only worked for so long.
The Colts last year were no icing, all cake, right? Yep. 7 Pro Bowlers, talent through the roof.
God, that's terrible. Their shit together. Like a nice moist cupcake with shitty icing on. Like,
oh, it's gross, right? It's terrible. Fell apart against the Jaguars in Week 18, right, to not go to the playoffs.
Dude, they were the worst team in the league. They had the first pick again.
And they got their dick kicked in by the worst team in the league, right? Ugh. So Derek Carr did a press conference today, you know, to announce the deal, and it was awesome watching his wife, his three boys, and his little baby daughter there. I literally took a screenshot of the daughter in the silver and black tutu dress, shirt, and like silver and black bow. Sent it to my wife because I have a two-year-old daughter. I'm like, babe, Halloween present. I'm Derek Carr, and little Frankie's going to be little Carr. Perfect. It was adorable. But more importantly, Derek Carr addressed how he only wants to be a Raider and how he put his money where his mouth is.
I've only wanted to be a Raider. And I told my agent, I said, I'm either going to be a Raider or I'm going to be playing golf. Like, I don't want to play anywhere else. You know, that's how much this place means to me. And I don't get really fired up talking about it or anything like that. But I hope people can hear my heart on that I was dead serious when I meant that. And so, you know, I had 1 year left on my contract. If it was 1 year, it was going to be 1 year, you know. Thankfully it'll be 4 more, you know. And, I can, you know, hopefully we can, you know, build on that and I can finish and just, you know, do what I set out to do, you know, 9 years ago, you know, and that is to win a championship. But that doesn't happen unless, you know, you put a lot of work in, and we have a long way to go before that can happen.
You look up in the dictionary the phrase, put your money where your mouth is. And it's Derek Carr sitting at this press conference saying, I will never be anything but a Raider, or I'll just golf and preach Jesus for the rest of my life. Lord knows he's got enough money, right? He doesn't have to play football anymore. And he's literally putting his money where his mouth is. Like, how can you not be a fan of this guy with this fucking move right now? Because I know Raider Nation's getting jacked up about it, as we should, right? Like, this is our, like, let's hold hands. Come on, because Derek Carr has been a controversial player for the Raiders for a long time, right? You and I have butted heads on Derek Carr more than any other topic, right? This is the day where we can all, as a Raider Nation, wrap our arms around Derek Carr, give him a giant kiss on the lips and say, God bless you for like literally doing what no other player does, right? Mm-hmm. That's great for us. But really who he's talking to, Soto, is Hunter Renfrow, is Darren Waller, is Colton Miller, Denzel Perryman. That's who he's talking to. He's saying, boys, I got your back. I am here for you. I will be your leader. I'm literally shitting away tens of millions of dollars for this team. So he's no dummy. He's talking to a press conference full of media, right? Our boy Adam Hill's there. Heidi's there. Like, he's talking to them. We're hearing it. But who he's really talking to are his teammates, saying that magic we had at the end of last season, let's recreate it this season. That's who he's talking to.
Yeah, let's recreate it with better cake, with better talent. Yep. Where we needed it. We didn't have a outside threat like we have now. We needed more pressure on the quarterback, better run stopping, and we got that. We've got some better pieces in the secondary. Hopefully, I put some stuff up about the offensive line. Hopefully, we get a little better at the offensive line. But it's a huge thing what Carr did. These non-guaranteed years are also able to be restructured in the future, so it can help the team moving forward if they need it. It's a lot easier to deal with. I don't mind the dollar amount. It's more than I would have paid dollar amount wise, but it's so much more flexible. I don't see Carr falling flat on his face and having this non-guaranteed money even come into play. Honestly, I think it's more of a flexibility thing for the team, and it's a way to get paid a decent amount, but still give the team flexibility to add pieces as they need them. And it's time for Carr to just it's got to happen. It's got to happen this next year.
He'd have to have a Carson Wentz level fall on his face to not be worth 40 mil two seasons from now.
Yeah. It'll have to happen 2 years in a row.
He's not even going to be top 15 paid quarterbacks 2 years from now, 40 mil. Like, you're not even in the maybe even not top 20. Maybe not even top 20 two seasons from now at 40 mil a year. Like, that's how cheap of a deal he got. Remember his last deal that he got 4 seasons ago, he was the highest paid quarterback in football for a very short period of time and Stafford's contract and et cetera. But for about 45 minutes, he was the highest paid player in football. His next contract, when he's better, he's objectively better now than he was in 2017 when he signed his last new contract. He's not even top 10 highest paid quarterbacks this season. Like, I can't stress enough how little money he's taking and for the reason he's doing it. We heard why he's doing it with, I'm going to be a Raider forever. Here's who he's doing it for. This is Derek Carr from the press earlier today.
You know, everyone looks at like certain numbers and they're going to say, oh, well, you know, they're not going to get the whole picture of how it's structured and how we did things, so that I'm, you know, Tim, my agent, myself and the team, we made sure, you know, guys like Chandler, guys like Devontae, guys like hopefully Hunter and Foster and those guys can stay here. You know, the way we structured it, you know, I went through a heartbreak already last time I signed my contract. My best friend left, you know what I mean? And I didn't want that to ever happen again. And so this was an opportunity for me to prove to the team, to the organization, to our fans, that the way we're going to structure this is so that we can keep, you know, everybody together and really, really have real continuity, really have something to build on, you know? And so for me, it was like, how do we do that? You know, usually in these negotiations, how much money can we get? And then there, how much can we save, you know? And for this was just different, you know? And so there was a learning curve about it. Like, how do we make that happen to where I feel good and to where the team feels great? Like, man, we can still build a championship team around you. And so that was what was important to us. And hopefully, you know, this contract proves that.
I want to shed a tear right now.
I'll take it, man. I want to cry. Look, it's the money he's going to get paid is not as important as the cap hit. With a non-guaranteed money cap, it's a cap hits. They can fluctuate. They can flip the dollars into a bonus. They can do a lot of different things every single year. They can
his contract's like it. An Olympic gymnast. It's the most flexible thing ever. You do
it's great. You it's amazing. I don't see Carr being released off of this contract. I see him playing the entire contract. Now, here's the deal. Okay. He has to perform better. He has better weapons around him. His overall numbers need to be better. A nearly 1-to-1 touchdown to turnover ratio is not going to cut it with the type of weapons he has now. It has to be better. So now that we have the contract and we have the flexibility, not only does the result need to be better, his results need to be better.
Are you ready to apologize to Derek Carr for shitting on his head for the last two seasons? For how he's truly embracing Raider Nation and like,
I think that's
taking
amazing.
A bullet for the team. Yeah.
Look, I think that him signing that contract is amazing. I doubted because he said, with the whole contract thing that he's talked about like last year, I brought it up and I said, you know what? This is what he says. Okay, now it's time to prove it. Now it's time to prove that being the highest paid player in the year isn't the most important thing. You want to build something. You want to win. I said, prove it to me. Because you know why? Nobody ever has out of your own mouth. They don't do that. I didn't believe it, just like you didn't believe it either. I didn't believe it either. And that's why I said I wasn't shitting on the guy. I said, you know what? I'll believe it when I see it because it's never happened before. You didn't believe it either. So it's now wasn't just me. I came out and said the actual words, but you were basically calling him kind of he's kind of being a little, dodging a little bit and like kind of playing with words because he still gives himself an out to get a big contract. But he did it. He did exactly what he said. And that's what he did. And I'm very happy with it because it's going to give us the flexibility to build where we need to build. If somebody amazing comes on the market again next year and we're able to get them, they know they're coming into a stable situation. They're coming to a team that has talent, that's building on that talent. And how do you get talent to maybe take a couple less dollars to come to you if you're winning? If you win, That draws those, you know what? This guy's got a couple years left of good football. He's already gotten paid a couple times. Now he wants to chase the ring. Like the bunch of people that the Rams got, like Tampa Bay got a couple years ago. They're getting these veteran players who can fill roles, who can still play, but they're maybe taking not as much money. You get that by first building the winner. And this is a big first step to giving yourself the flexibility to build.
Are you still going to shit on Carr all next season? Like every time he does something even remotely poor, you crash him. And every time he does something good, you're radio silent. Or has this made you do a 180 on him as the man?
I've never done that.
That's 100%.
I have never done that. You want to take it that way.
Absolutely did that.
I hold Carr accountable to the standard that I have for him. And that people that his whatever they call him, Carr stands. If that those guys talk him up to be. Okay, if that's the standard, then let's hold him up to that standard. But the thing is, guys, I am not going to make excuses anymore. There's no room for excuses. That's all I hear about why we're not winning, about why this, why that. We have a plan put together. We need to go out there and win. Because one thing that we haven't been good at is we haven't been good at winning games that we're favored, that we're supposed to win. When people want to pick us, we're good at being the underdog. Don't get me wrong. We're good at pulling our bootstraps up and being the underdog. We need to be that team that's better than you and still goes out there and wins consistently.
Josh McDaniels released a statement this morning after the contract was announced, and he said, excuse me, Derek Carr has been the leader of this franchise for a long time, and we are thrilled to continue that relationship moving forward. He has been a great example of someone who always puts the team first. No shit. We appreciate his desire to keep doing that while leading on and off the field. It is clear how much Derek cares about this organization, his teammates, and winning. I look forward to the opportunity to work with him this season and beyond. So Josh McDaniels came to the Raiders for multiple reasons, but I think clearly proves that one of the strong reasons was he had a franchise quarterback in Derek Carr. When you are Josh McDaniels and you are you're the highest paid assistant in football, you get to pick your gig. And he waited and waited like a panther in the bush for the right opportunity. And this was it. And with the stars aligning like they did, where a playoff team is in need of a new GM and head coach. Franchise quarterback, four Pro Bowlers, great cap space, great draft. You know, they have all their draft picks at the time. Like, this is like, he's like, okay, this isn't some guy like, all right, I'm taking that job and this is great. He's like, all right, we're going to go get Davante Adams. We're going to sign. We're going to keep Derek Carr for 4 years if we want him, and we're going to get him to a deal that we want. This is a great sign of how I feel like Josh McDaniels and Derek Carr are already vibing really well. It's always kind of like, all right, like, we've reached this understanding. I got your boy. I got Davante Adams, right? And this goes back to, we talked about it a week and a half, 2 weeks ago when Davante Adams was signed, how like you can rationalize making Davante Adams the highest paid wide receiver at the time because that should come back cheaper for Derek Carr. Mm-hmm. That's literally what happened, right? That's literally what happened. They're like, all right, hey, we're going to pay Davante Adams a, you know, $67 million for 3 years, making the highest paid wide receiver at the time. But we can get that money back because now Derek Carr is going to take less. And it's exactly what happened.
Yeah. This is one of the things that we needed to do to fix some of the sins of the previous regime. We're not stockpiled with young talent spread out throughout our roster. We have pieces here and there, but we have to go out and we have to lure young talent through free agency, not talent that's like already been in the league 6-7 years, like guys who are on their first the first big contract. We need to be able to lure those players, to have players who could play for 3, 4, 5 years with us and build some continuity. We don't have a lot of those pieces because a lot of our early round picks or overall picks in general aren't performing the way a lot of the high end teams that are consistently contenders. They have those young pieces that have been with them for long periods of time. So this is giving us the ability to kind of wash those sins away a little bit by going out and getting that young prime year talent, mid-20s talent.
A good friend of the show from Tape Don't Lie. I highly recommend you guys check them out.
Those guys are awesome, dude. They're great.
One of them. So you have BD Williams, who does defense, Marcus Johnson, who does offense. And you and Mark had a Twitter exchange today when he was. Mm-hmm. Now, Marcus Johnson's a big fan of Derek Carr. Big. He really likes Derek Carr, loves his game, thinks he's underrated. Mm-hmm. One of those guys, right? And you tweeted at him. The issue is, how does the contract affect the extensions of Hunter Renfrow and Darren Waller?
This is before we knew the
yeah, this specific. Is at 8:50 a.m. in the morning, right? So this is early, right? And even then, that's a fair question. I think that's the question everyone is thinking, right? What is every contract? How does that affect Renfrow and Waller? Every contract, Davante Adams, Chandler Jones, Derek Carr. Very fair question. Also, can't get a big boy contract and have a nearly 1-to-1 touchdown to turnover ratio. Expectations up, no excuses, go Raiders. Marcus responded, how many quarterbacks make the playoffs with what happened to the Raiders last year, having that offensive line and losing your best weapon for 5 games? That's the real question. I know it's not Kirk Cousins. He gets a lot of like Kirk Cousins, Derek Carr comparisons. And so he's like, his dig all the time is like, oh, Kirk Cousins, he can't do this. Kirk Cousins can't do that, whatever.
It used to be Matt Stafford until Matt Stafford won the Super Bowl. And they're like, what?
Until it went to the super team of super teams, right?
Yeah, exactly. Can't do that anymore.
Doesn't hit the same anymore, right? Yeah. You didn't respond to the tweet, so I'll let you respond on air.
I mean, I kind of talked about it already. The way that the team played, it needed everything to fall into place for us to make the playoffs. We were negative in point differential. We were negative in turnovers. We actually played in metrics that show your probability of winning games. We actually played worse last in 2021 than we played in 2020, but we won more games. I say to that, it's the whole icing and cake thing. Can it happen once? Sure. Can you win on that kind of grit multiple years and sustain success? Having a quarterback with nearly a 1-to-1 turnover ratio and a touchdown turnover ratio? No, you can't. It's just not possible to do. But what the better picture is, how did we address those deficiencies that we had coming from the outside? A new GM coming in from the outside, he sees the things the same way that I see them. Wow, they made the playoffs last year, but guess what? It's not very likely. You can't sustain success winning this type of games consistently. So we need to fix the roster. We need to get better coaches in here. We need to do all that stuff to make this a better franchise. They're now a better franchise. I understand what he's saying about the adversities that Carr went through last year. It wasn't just Carr. You know, he was a leader of the team, but I mean, we all saw a lot of games where his play in the fourth quarter cost us games. So I'm not trying to make this a Derek Carr is the only reason we made the playoffs and he's the only reason we didn't make the playoffs. That's not the case. It's a big team. It's a lot of players. And he's a big part of it, but he's not the main part or even the whole part. It's not possible to sustain that success. That can't be duplicated in multiple years, especially in a row. It just can't happen.
Are you going to watch this season the way you watched last season, just waiting for Carr to fail?
I wasn't waiting for Carr to fail. I was waiting.
That's a lie.
That's not true.
That's a lie.
That's not a lie. I was waiting to see what I saw from him the first few weeks. When he went and he played the Bears, he didn't play smart. Okay? He didn't play smart. He got rattled against the freaking Chargers the first time. These are things that need to be held under control. I understand that the team was going through a lot, but unfortunately, this is a results-based game. You have to win. I understand what shit's going on, but that's why he was able to pull up his bootstraps and, okay, let's get back on there and let's win some of these games. They were ugly wins, but again, that can't be sustained long-term. We want long-term success here. And Gruden has been known to have those firework-type teams. Mm-hmm. What happened after Gruden left the Raiders? They had that good season, and then they were gone. That's it. They were out of the playoffs. What happened with Tampa? They won the Super Bowl, and then they were freaking shitty. Like, they got progressively shitty every year after. He's not a guy that sustains success. And that was kind of the way that he was building this team, and we saw it. If we would have gone the same route with this team, we wouldn't have gotten Chandler Jones. We wouldn't have gotten Adams with Gruden and Mayocca. They just didn't have it to pull the trigger for these things. They would have already overpaid Derek Carr. They would have already overpaid Renfro. They would have already over... and.
Extended Josh Jacobs for $20 million a year.
For all, gave him way too much money. You have to look at it. You have to look at it from this. Oh, Dick, you're back, Dick Vitale. Don't listen. Then I'm telling the truth, and RJ knows I'm telling the truth. These guys, the way the team was constructed, it worked for 1 year or a portion of a year. The way it was constructed, because it was really a different team after Gruden left, and I don't understand where you guys are coming from when you're saying, oh, well, yeah, we could do it again with the same team. It's not possible. They were not talented enough to do it for the long term. They just weren't. That's why they went out and got – that's why they – pronouns, pal. That's why Ziegler and Champ went out and got more talent. They got more talented players.
SJ Raider chimes in. I'm so freaking happy. Huge day for the nation today. Happy to see y'all's growth. Well-deserved. Always a consistent show. Well, thank you, SJ Raider. That's very much appreciated.
Consistently and mediocre. I love it.
It's days like this that make me so happy that we bust our ass for this show. Like, again, we've been both in Raider fans our whole lives, never turned it into anything. It was just talking football, chatting with our boys, watching the game, living and dying by every snap, every fumble, every touchdown. And then it's days like this where it's like, if we didn't have this show, me and Rory would be on a text chain. Oh, this is awesome. This is cool. Awesome. This is great. I can't wait for football season. And then we're done. And then I'm putting the baby in the bath and drinking beer, watching hockey for the rest of the night. And the Kings got their ass kicked. So it'd be a sad day for me. Right. But because we're doing this with you guys, we get to share this joy, we get to be happy together. Like, I have an outlet for this energy, for like this fucking raging silver and black boner I've got right now. I'm like, what am I going to do with it? Ooh. Oh, let's point it in the computer and talk about it, right?
I don't want to hear that.
Well, you're hearing it because it's the truth. That's how it is.
Yeah,
this is a great day. Like, this is a...
It's amazing. It's
amazing. If the Raiders, like, win the Super Bowl next season, you know, one, two, three seasons ago, right, and they do, like, a 30 for 30 about it, or we do, like, some sort of, like, documentary about, like, the team that won the Super Bowl, this will probably be the first like minute of that episode. Like, what was the turning point? It's like, well, we got Josh McDaniels, John Gruden's gone, signed Davante Adams, and Derek Carr said, kick me right in the wallet. I don't care. I don't need the money. I care about winning football games. Like, this day, this moment, this contract by Derek Carr is going to germinate something special. I'm telling you, the intangibles of football are tangible. And it doesn't make logical sense, but the intangibles of football, team unity, leadership.
They show up on
feeling
the field.
Together, right?
They show up during adversity. They definitely do show up.
It's real. You can taste it. You can cut it with a knife. And these are the easily designated moments that epitomize that sort of intangible positive spirit that's gotten this Raider team to the playoffs last season.
It's amazing. And it was Chowder 71. It's nice to finally have modern leadership. Mick Ziegler have been awesome thus far. I can't argue with that. It's definitely something that we've seen us make moves that are not head shaking moves. It's almost like, and this is thanks Chowder, appreciate it. That's one thing that really used to bug me. Every time the Raiders made a bad pick or they made a bad deal, all the newscasters and reporters would just shrug it off like, ah, it's the Raiders. Mm-hmm. Like, no, I don't want to be okay, or I don't want to be known that, oh yeah, we're not surprised at what they're going to do. Or the Raiders are up next picking. Let's see what they do.
It's a very Raiders move.
Yeah, they should pick this guy, but I don't know. Like, I don't want that anymore. Don't forget Champ. Don't forget Champ, guys. Champ is the assistant GM. He's in there as well. He's doing a lot of the work too. So it's the reason why I said it before. I said, yeah, let's re-sign him to the right deal. I don't want to re-sign him, overpay him, and then not have the flexibility to still build this team the way we need to build it, because we don't have a lot of those young assets because of those misses in free agency previously and the misses in the draft. But I'm very pleased with this contract because we still have the flexibility to build a stronger team, not just this year, guys, but moving forward.
And this is the thing about this contract too. Like, the part of it that we're all excited about is how he's like no guaranteed money. Like, Derek Carr's literally like putting his career on the line to free up cap space and money for teammates, free agents. Hey, Stephon Gilmore, Tyrann Mathieu. Like, hey, look what this quarterback in Las Vegas did. Like, he's literally making space for guys like you, right? Like, he's sending, I said earlier, like, he's sending this message to his teammates. He's also sending this message to free agents. It's like, hey, we're doing something special in Las Vegas. Y'all want to be a part of it, right? But this is the thing. Even if all that money from Derek Carr is guaranteed, even if it was guaranteed money, 28 mil next season, then 35, then 40 and 46. That's still pennies.
It would still
be pennies based on the quarterback market. And it's not even guaranteed. Like, he like tripled down on what he said. I lost Khalil Mack last time I signed a contract, and I'll be damned if that happens again on my watch.
Yeah, it's something. Guys, I know it's exciting and everything, and we have to take a look at what this means for our team, any team, any executive, anything, in any type of business. You want to have a short-term plan and you want to have a long-term plan. We didn't have long-term plans before. It's just, let's just throw money at who we think should have a lot of money.
The long-term plan is, what did John Gruden think when he woke up that day?
Yeah, it's like, this is why I'm so excited about this deal. Are we keeping Derek Carr? Yes. If he plays well, he's going to continue to get paid. He's going to go through his entire contract. I don't have a problem with it, because if he does, that means he's been playing well. I have no problem with this deal. Mm-hmm. The flexibility that we're going to have to make sure that we have enough firepower to win games honestly, this feels like we have a cheat code and we're getting extra cap space.
Yeah.
That's what it feels like, because Carr's big chunk of his, that normally would take a big chunk of the cap, it's not going to take a big chunk of the cap. So it's almost like we have maybe a little bit more, but kind of like a rookie contract deal for Carr. Like, if we just drafted him, because not this year, this year's going to be a bigger hit, but in future years, we're
bigger,
still going to have that
28 mil. Like, it's bigger.
Than it was at 19. Yeah, but it's still, it's nothing. It's fine. Right? It's still doable.
Like, quarterback terms.
Yeah, in quarterback terms. So it's like, we have this quarterback. We don't have to wait to develop. We can still clean up some things because, you know, McDaniels will put him in position to succeed, use his weapons properly. And he's there's players out there. Like we talked about, you know, who you think is a better quarterback, Herbert or Carr. That's what I was asked once. And I said, I think Herbert has more physical talent. I think Carr plays the position of quarterback better. And I don't think it's that close. I think he's a much better player of the position, even though Herbert may have better physical tools. So sometimes Herbert has better games because of his physical tools just are that much better. But over the long period of time, you want to have a guy who's not a slub, but has good skills, but plays the position better. And I think that him having a quarterback like Derek Carr who can play the position the way he can and have that flexibility to have his cap hit be so low, it's a cheat code, man. It's like a rookie contract for a quarterback.
Corey Martin chimes in. Just tuning in. Juan changing his stance on Carr already.
So I don't know why you say that. I'm definitely not.
Well, let me say, Tuesday, when you went to bed on Tuesday versus now, 24 hours later, what did change in your mind about Derek Carr, if anything? What changed from when you put your head to the pillow last night versus when you're going to put your head to the pillow after this show? What changed about Derek Carr in Juan El Soto's mind, if anything?
The only thing that changed was I was unsure if he was going to follow through with his, I want the team to win. I don't need to be the highest paid quarterback. I was unsure of that. Mm-hmm. And I think we were both unsure because it had never been done before. Usually the next quarterback up is the one that gets paid the most, right? So that was really the only thing that was changed in my mind was, okay, he meant it, and he put his money where his mouth was.
Literally. Derek Carr is literally batting 1,000 in doing what he says.
He did it. Okay, right. I'm not going to question him anymore. Yeah. Now, what the reason
he was
why
doing it before, and the big one was, you know, I don't care. I just want to win. Like, that's a big one. It's one thing to say, like, hey, I'm going to be the first guy there. I'm going to do X. I'm going to do Y. It's a whole other thing to say, like, yeah, I'm going to risk tens of millions of dollars for this team. It's like, all right, nobody does that. It's like, all right, I get what you're saying, Derek. That's cool. That's a great thing. We'll see when the contract comes around. He's literally batting 1,000. When Derek Carr says something, he does it. It's uncanny.
Yeah, and the reason why I'm so excited is the same thing I said is Carr needs more on this team. He's not that type of player who can take a team that doesn't have as much talent and be a consistent winner. He needs more. With this contract, he's going to be able to get more. That's why I'm so excited. Is we're going to give him what he needs to win.
FAKC chimes in. McDaniels and Ziegler hustled Carr.
No, they did. I don't think so. Dude, Carr still has an agent. His agent's not going to let him get hustled.
The only person that's pissed off is his agent. That's the only guy that's pissed off. Like, he's like, oh, fuck, I'm getting three. Like, I have a franchise quarterback in this climate with a contract up. Like, I should be talking about a $200 million. I should be getting commission on a $200 million five-year deal right now. He's like, nope.
I'm sure he's getting broke off clean. I'm sure he's getting broke off clean.
He's not going to be eating top ramen, but he's probably like, oh, fuck. I have to get the one self-righteous team player quarterback of all the quarterbacks out there. I have to get the one guy who only cares about the team and not himself. This is bullshit.
Yeah. Raiders, you want to correct Raider Zach on the guaranteed money?
There are guarantees. You'll see 100 mil over the first couple of years. Well, there's an injury. There's a 40 something million dollars that triggered guaranteed for injury.
Injury, yeah.
That's it. After this season, there's no guaranteed money. It's not. It's
now,
not
if he plays, money. If he plays the next 3 years under the same monies, he'll be about 100 million.
Yeah. But again, that's not guaranteed money.
That's not guaranteed.
If he plays, he gets 150 mil, right?
I think he'll play the whole contract out. I don't have a problem with that. That means he's playing well, and it's still a flexible contract. We can move dollars into bonus money. We could do a lot of more flexible things because it's not guaranteed. We can do whatever, basically whatever we want with it.
Mm-hmm. Can someone explain to me why this is a good deal for the Raiders? It's great for Carr, but for the team. Well, it's like we've been saying, this is no guaranteed money. Well, again, for the third time, even if it was all guaranteed money, even if it was 100% guaranteed money, 28 mil this year, 35 mil, and then it's like 40 and 46. Mm-hmm. Even if that was all guaranteed money, that's still a screaming deal for the Raiders based on the quarterback market. Right. Mm-hmm. Every single one of those years, he won't even be top 10 highest paid quarterbacks. Maybe not top 15. All four of those years. And oh yeah, none of it's guaranteed. Unless he's injured.
Yeah. Sam A, this is what I'm saying here. The team can manipulate the structure of his pay for that year to not be a huge cap hit. So although he's getting paid, let's say after this year and next year, he'll get paid 35 or 6 million, whatever it is, right? It's not going to be a $35 million hit against the cap. It's going to be a much lower hit against the cap, although he's getting paid more. They're going to move it around and finagle it. So he's still getting his money, but it's not all cap hit money. So we can put more around him. And that's why it's such a good deal, is because it's so flexible and gives the team a lot of wiggle room to be able to add these pieces.
Think of it like Carson Wentz.
And re-sign pieces.
Think of it like Carson Wentz, right? Like he signed his deal for guaranteed money. And now every team who gets Carson Wentz is stuck. The Commanders have to pay him $28 million this season. No one wants to. Like that's why you're literally getting Jared Goff, right? You think, okay. A below average but starting quarterback, there's value there. Like there's value to a below average starting quarterback in Jared Goff, but not at $35 million. No one wants that. That's why the Rams had to give up picks to get rid of Goff because his contract
that
was
contract
so bad.
Is atrocious.
It's terrible, right? For how bad, like the caliber of player versus the contract he's getting, you're stuck. Derek Carr, you're not stuck. You're not stuck with that. He did not insure himself. That's what you do when you're a good player and your contract's up. You're like, all right, if you want my services, you're not just getting what I'm worth right now. You need to make sure I'm paid 3, 4, 5 years from now. I have that kind of leverage as a professional athlete, not just Carr, all athletes. I have that kind of leverage as a professional athlete, and I want X number of millions of dollars down the line. Right, you're what you have now, you have to pay for 5 years. Carr didn't do that. Nope. Carr said, I have that leverage, I'm not gonna do it. Think of it like college football coaches who you have to buy out their contract, right? You're like, all right, you're fired, you're done.
That is such a fucking hustle. You want to talk about a hustle?
That's a scam.
Be a big time college football coach. You can fucking slap your freaking assistant around, you can slap your secretary around, and they'll still have to fucking buy you out. It's crazy, man. But yeah, you know, what the fuck? ATX, the Costa? Carr bet on himself with a better team and will get paid. I agree. I agree he's going to get paid. I think he's going to get every single dollar of this contract. I don't see a problem with it. Keir Beavers says, Brady-style deal that allows the team to manipulate the cap every year. In a short sentence, this is exactly what it is. It's a deal that allows the team to manipulate the cap every single year while still paying Carr his money. That's in the long and short of it.
And Brady never took anything close to this.
Forget the dollar amounts. Forget the dollar amounts. We it's all about cap hit. It's all about what else you can do with your money. That's what we have to focus on here. And the way that we have this set up now is we have all this flexibility to re-sign our players maybe a year earlier than normal teams would to get him at a better rate. Like, look, if Hobbs continues to ascend and he's like, dude, this guy's a top five corner in the league, we need to lock his ass up now before shit gets too crazy. And then we can sign him earlier because we have the cap space to do it.
Sam, I just don't understand why you guys love Carr so much. He hasn't won us shit.
Oh, Sam.
Sam, this is how you have to look at quarterbacks. There's certain quarterbacks that drag their teams down, And there's certain quarterbacks that bring their teams up, right? The first, well, I forget the exact number. It was like the first nine games of this season, the Raiders were like 6-0 when Carr threw for over 300 yards and 0-3 when he didn't. Like, he literally won us the first like half of the season by himself, right? As the season wore on, you know, he had made some mistakes. The turnovers caught up. Defense saved us a couple times. Josh Jacobs saved us down the stretch, etc. But for a period there, like, he was literally put on the Superman cape and won us six games to start the season off, right? He is that guy. He's the guy that elevates the team, doesn't drag the team. Jared Goff drags down the team. Carson Wentz drags down the team. Derek Carr doesn't. And then on top of that, the pure economics of football. Pure economics of football. If you're an average starting quarterback, and we can argue whether Derek Carr is number 9, number 12, number 15, number 18, whatever.
He's above average. He's above average.
I say he's top 12. You could say 50, whatever that number is. Whatever that number is.
12, 13, 14, 15. It's that little group.
We're not gonna fight over that number, but somewhere in there. Right? Somewhere in there. Those guys get $40 million a year every time. $40 million a year. That's what those guys get. And Carr says, no, I care about the team more. Like, the value that that gives your team is unbelievable.
That flexibility, guys. Look, regardless of what you feel about Derek Carr as a player, he's going to have more continuity to help him perform better in the long term. Stop looking at this whole like short-term stuff. That we're not doing that anymore. We're looking short and long-term. The long-term flexibility of this contract moving forward, if we have holes, if we lose pieces, we can still get premium talent. What do I say about free agency? Studs and duds. Get the best players you can at the position and then fill the gaps with the lower guys and in the draft. We can go after those big fish now. We have that cap space for years to come, because a veteran quarterback that takes up the most of your cap is not going to eat up a ton of cap. Please understand that, guys. This is something that's very good for this team.
It's Dark Side of the Sun podcast. It's crazy how shocked everyone is that Carr kept his word.
Because no one's ever done it.
No player has ever done it. I spent the last 2 months saying, yeah, no quarterback takes a team-friendly deal. Every single fan base says, I think our quarterback should take a team-friendly deal. You know what? It'd be really nice if our quarterback took a team-friendly deal. You know, wash our back, we'll wash your back. Take a team-friendly deal. Dak Prescott, Carson Wentz, Patrick Mahomes, fucking whoever. They never do it. Ever. Never, ever, 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 ever. Which is why I said Derek Carr was never going to do it. Lo and behold.
Fucking did it.
Derek Carr kept his word. Team-friendly deal.
We need no
guaranteed money, and the money he does get, still way below market. It's crazy. Billy Balls, 916. Name a better quarter we've had in 20 years. I'll wait. Yeah. Not since Rich Gannon. Rich Gannon was all pumped about it. You know how Rich, so Rich was on SiriusXM, SiriusXM NFL radio show. And he was talking, you know, that obviously like he was on air when this broke. And you know how Gannon and Carr kind of had their little headbutt, you know, they're kind of like, Gannon kind of sniped at him, Carr kind of sniped back. Gannon was all about this deal. Gannon was pumped on it. He's like, hey, Raiders are poised for something special. He deserves it. He was kind of echoing kind of how I view Carr, of like, there's quarterbacks that drag the team down. There's quarterbacks that raise the team up. Carr raises the team up. Not perfect, but generally raises the team up. Gannon was all about it.
Yeah, and because Gannon understands the value. Again, a word that we're used to hearing about our front office understanding or knowing the concept, or you know, implementing the concept of value. Gannon understands the value of having a veteran quarterback on what's basically a first rookie contract deal cap hit. it's a huge deal for us moving forward to be able to create that kind of cap space for us, because we can go after these, we can build a super team. We can do it. We can get players and pieces, and we can pay each guy, you know, that big money because we have the space to do it.
So what's a reasonable expectation now? Because if this isn't a giant roster move, right? This isn't like, all right, when we picked up Davante Adams, when we picked up Chandler Jones, like these were like roster moves. And we're like, all right, what's our expectations now? This isn't a roster change, because we all basically assumed we were keeping Derek Carr. Like, I knew we were going to sign him. Like, he wasn't going anywhere. But to this deal, let's try to get caught up in the moment. Mm-hmm. Let's be rational, right? Let's all take a deep breath. Take a step back. What's a reasonable, optimistic, let's say optimistic, but reasonable expectation for the Raiders next season? Again, super tough division, mm-hmm. 20 years of mediocrity, new head coach, new GM, new system, new defensive coordinator. But obviously all these great moves. We went to the playoffs last year. Mm-hmm. Let's be reasonable. Let's be fair. What's a reasonable expectation for the Raiders next season now, with after this, in light of this new contract?
So picture this. You have a blank slate, right? And you have a dark, let's say black circle in the middle. That dark black circle is the middle of it is super conservative.
Okay.
As you push out, it gets lighter and lighter and lighter, right? It's not quite as dark until you get to white at the end, right? So if you're being very conservative, okay, conservative is, yeah, they can be like, let's say, second place, squeak into the playoffs again as a wild card. That's a very conservative view. I still see a darkish color, very possible, us challenging for the division. Mm-hmm. And a little bit lighter than that, but still not out of the realm. It's not like super like light gray on the end. It's, you know, still possible for us to be a Super Bowl contender. It all depends on a couple things. There's a second wave of free agency moving forward. Now, the reason why I said previously that the Derek Carr deal will be done post June 1 is because we had more cap space to do it. And I thought that Carr was going to take a much larger deal. It would take up more space. That's why I said we could do it post June 1. He didn't take that space we don't need for him anymore. Yeah, we don't need that cap. We have that space now. We can go after the Gilmores out there. We can go after Matthews. You know, we can go after those type of guys for our secondary, which is kind of, you know, we have some pieces, but we still need some more stars back there. And we can do that now. If we do that, and I see it happening, because just as fast as windows close in the NFL for teams, they open up quickly too. And if you put the right team together, and that's why having this team play so together last year, just having that same mentality, but just adding premium talent to it, they can make a huge jump moving forward.
I'd say if we were in the NFC, it's divisional game, no question. If we're in the
divisional round, easy, yeah.
Divisional round, easy. Like, who do you have in the NFC? You got the Bucks, Rams, and Green Bay. After that, it's a steep drop off. Steep, right? If we're NFC, we're in the
divisional NFC round, is like wrong. There's like four or five teams, and then there's everything else.
Yeah. And this is the thing, and this is what makes. And I know it sounds like a cop out, right? Because you want predictions, you want projections. Like, all right, put your money where your mouth is, Clifford. Like, you're saying all these good things or all these bad things. Like, all right, make a prediction, and then I can either, you know, brag about how right I was, or I'll take egg in my face for how wrong I was, right? And it sounds like a cop out, but it's true. I said this on my live chat yesterday. The momentum mid and late season is hard to predict and so important. Two seasons ago, the Bucks were 9-7. Nothing special, barely above 500. but they caught fire late and played amazing. The Bengals, fourth seed. No one thought they were, you know, anything that all that special, right? We're one Hunter Renfrow not slipping on third down away from beating them in the wild card round, right? Was it second or third down when Renfrow that flat?
Third down.
Third down, right?
We're one bullshit touchdown away from winning that game.
Bullshit touch, right? The bungle in the jungle.
The freaking
the Hunter Renfrow slip. The terrible play call on fourth and goal with nobody in the end zone, right? Like 18 things could have made us win that game. And they won the AFC Championship and went to the Super Bowl, right? That's how like fleeting. That's how narrow. Like not making the play. The Chargers, like they could have won that game any number of times against us in week 18, right? But we win. We kick their dicks in, rub their faces in the dirt, went to the playoffs, and they went to vacation early, right? Fuck you, Staley. Like that's how narrow that window is. Like that's how tiny the margin of error is. And truly, and again, I keep bringing it up and I sound like a broken record, but what the Raiders like X-Men power is a team unity, is playing like a team and playing for each other, right? Like that's something that is like it's a tangible intangible that the Raiders have. And if they could catch that late, the sky's the limit. Like there is no ceiling with what we did last year, plus our improvements, plus our better play calling, plus that intangible. Like, if that starts rolling week 12, no one can stop us. No one can stop this team if all those things line up.
How much better would it be if it starts rolling week 4 and builds more momentum? What's wrong with being Apollo? What's wrong with being the better fighter? What's wrong with being the better team and being expected to win and going out and doing it? Mm-hmm. That's what you want. That's what we want, right? In the heyday of the Raiders, they came out on the field. They were the bigger, faster, badder team. Everyone knew it, and they still kicked the shit out of you. What's wrong with being that team? Just being better. Why do we have to like rise up through adversity? We don't, you know, let's just be better. And you need what you need. You need to have the mentality. You need to have the leadership, and you need to have the talent. I think we have that.
It's a great day in Raider Nation. It's a rare day in football and a better day in Raider Nation. Again, this is our full like Wednesday recording for our full big show on Thursday. We do multiple things. We have a question of the day. We do what up windbags. We have multiple topics. No, we did nothing with this new Derek Carr contract. None of that. What that means for this team, what that means for the NFL, what that means for expectations, what that means for free agents, what that means for Hunter Renfrow's future, Darren Waller's future. It's that big. It's that important. Like how Darren Waller put his money where his mouth is this morning. That's what we're doing with this show today. Like that's how important. This isn't just, it's always big news when your franchise quarterback gets an extension. It's always giant news. It's always something worth talking about. This is bigger than all of them because of what it stands for and how it's constructed. And I hope we got that message across to you guys. All right. Are we partying in Vegas this weekend, Soto?
I think we are.
All right. Wait. What is this? I think we are. Are you going or not? I'm gonna be there.
I'm leaving out. I'm flying Friday, 3:45 flight out of Long Beach. I'll be there.
All right. I work Friday day and I work late Saturday. So Friday nights are night. We're raging. Where are you staying at? What are you doing?
I think we're staying downtown. I think at the Main Street station. Anyone want to party?
Classy.
I like their craft brew bar. I love it. They're freaking cheap and the food's good.
How close are you to the D?
It's right there. You just walk to it. It's just easy. It's right there.
The D is awesome. The D has the best, one of the best. If you just
everybody, RJ loves the D. You heard
big
it here
fan
first.
Of the D. Yeah. Big. See, that joke never gets old. Like you literally named your hotel in Las Vegas the D. It's like, come on.
Now
no one can win, right?
I want a lot of money at the D, man. The D made me a lot of money. My D made me a lot of money.
Someone else's D made you a lot of money. Anyway.
Yeah, the poker there is.
They've got those It's one of the only spots in Vegas where you can still put a quarter in those fake horse racing games. You know, the little like mechanical horses that go around. You can put quarters into that thing and you can like play that actual game. It's a blast. And the and they're amazing drinks for like free drinks. You know, like with your if you're gambling, you get free drinks.
It's premium shit. And they have go-go dancers with their freaking tits out and shit. You're like, oh, if I'm getting distracted.
Are we doing that? Or are we going like titty bar club out? Or are we just getting raucous downtown?
I kind of want to do the downtown shit. We can go to a strip club. I'd rather not do a club. It's just not my thing. If we're going to do that, I'd rather go to a strip club. But I don't want to bring any nice clothes. Are you fucking kidding me?
Yeah. I don't want to have to put on deodorant. I'm not having a tea with the queen.
Who's coming out with us? Who are you bringing from the UFC?
You don't worry about that. I'm putting the vibe out. I'll make some calls. I'm making some calls.
You know who I want it to be, right?
Yeah. Who do you want? Laura?
Yeah. Sanko.
Little Miss Sanko. I will see you Friday night.
Friday night.
On the streets of Vegas.
Ooh.
I'm staying.
We gotta post some shit. Should we post some shit, guys? So, what do you think?
So the hotel the UFC puts me at is literally across the street from the stadium. Like when I do my runs in the morning, I run around the stadium. It's a 3-minute walk.
Huh. All right.
Some people swing by there, take some photos.
Isn't this what do you call it? At the Performance Center, right? Apex?
No, that was the old place. So now we're back by Allegiant Stadium.
Okay, so where's the event going to be?
At Apex, which is
at Apex
off of Rainbow, further down.
Okay,
15 minutes from the Strip. Nice. 10 minutes from the Strip.
So what's up? You going to hook it up or what?
You're supposed to remind me Monday. I'll send my boss an email today.
I didn't remind you, did I?
But you didn't.
Well,
on you.
Ask Laura if she can get us in.
If I'm gonna use my my Laura requests for something better, not sexual. Get that out of your mind, Soto. She's a lady. She's a lady. All right, knock it off.
I'd say you can. She should come to my Muay Thai gym and we can spar a little bit. Stand up spar. Yeah, spar.
All right. Well, that's it for us. If we don't survive Vegas, this is the last show ever. I hope you guys enjoyed it, but I'm sure we will. Until then, knock on wood if you're with me. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of the Autumn Windbags. We really appreciate it. Make sure you give us a follow on YouTube. That's where most of the action happens anyway. Plus, we're on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. You know where we're at. Until next time, later.